Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. If you're looking for a musical to see, today's episode is for you. If you're in Toronto in April 2024, from the 19th to the 27th, you'll want to check out the Bowtie Productions presentation of Falsettos at the Annex Theater. Today, we have a full house of actors and directors, both of the artistic and executive kind. So without further ado, let's welcome Ian Kowalski, Taylor Long, and Randy Lei Chang to the show. Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Hello.
Awesome. Cool. So before we get into talking about the production, we want to get to know you because, to get to the production, we got to know how you got there in the first place. So I always ask for a 30-second bio. So Ian, I'm going to start with you. Who is Ian in 30 seconds?
I like to say that I am a quote-unquote multidisciplinary artist. I know that's cheesy these days. I've been doing theater since I was, 8 years old and playing Oliver in Oliver the Musical. And I've always wanted to, sort of start my own little theater company. And here we are. We created this company a few years ago. And I'm so excited to be continuing to pursue theatrical arts. I think it's more important now than ever. So I'm really grateful to be in this position.
Wonderful. Taylor, 30 seconds. Who are you?
30 seconds. my name's Taylor. I grew up on the East Coast of Canada in Halifax. Started performing at a young age, studied opera at university there. Never wanted to be an opera singer, always wanted to do musical theater, but wanted that classical technique. Performed a lot on the East Coast and then moved to Toronto in 2017. And actually, I took a break when I moved here for quite a long time from the stage and just returned to performing last August. So this is my fourth show since then. And I'm so happy to be back.
Randy, you have 30 seconds. Who are you?
All right, let's go. Born in Taiwan. Moved here when I was four. I started out, actually, a huge portion of my life was dedicated to classical music. I'm a classically trained pianist and violinist, studied violin in university, and then, made the jump to musical theater as I had also, also conjunctively been a singer for most of my life. Discovered that I could also act and dance. Did my first show in 2019, discovered this new love of a performance through musical theater. And so, yeah, ever since 2019, I've been trying to start this new chapter of my life, and it's been absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. Now, it sounds like all of you have been, into the music and the theater and the arts since you were young. Do you remember that moment when you wanted to get into musical theater itself? Or do you have a show or a moment? Ian, again, we'll start with you, that just said, yeah, this is what I love.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I think I've spoken to a lot of artists in Toronto whose parents took them to see The Lion King the first time that it was here in Toronto. And I think for me, that was one of the first big moments of being like, wow, like the sheer scale of the production. I was like, I don't really know in which way I want to be involved, but I want to be doing that. And also, I will circle back to this later, but I went to see a production of the musical Fun Home on Broadway in 2015. And that was kind of the impetus to start this company because, seeing that show, I realized that theater is not always having to be about all the glitz and the glam and the jazz hands. You know, it can be really a human experience. And that's sort of what brought me back into theater after a little bit of a break working in film and television production. So both really special experiences for me.
So I guess next November with The Lion King sitting down in Toronto, we might have another birth of, future theater people. So
I think it's totally possible. Yeah, it gets, brings a lot of different types of audiences in. And I think it has a huge impact, at least it did on me.
Taylor, yourself, yeah, did you have that aha moment, that aha show or anything like that?
Yeah, I think I did. I remember my mom taking me to the producers at Neptune Theater in Halifax. And I mean, for me, it was the glitz and glamour and jazz hands. Like, the show is so hilarious and so wonderfully flamboyant at times. And I just remember us in stitches laughing in our seats. And I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. This is amazing. Like, this is it.
Randy, yourself.
So I have two. So one, something about me that some of my friends know, not everyone knows, it's not general knowledge, but my mom is actually a singer from Taiwan. So I grew up, I remember going on two major trips, one when I was 10, one when I was 12, back to Taiwan to like kind of accompany my mom while she was on tour around Taiwan. And just seeing my mom and like her colleagues on stage just doing their thing kind of made me be like, well, like, I want to do that. That this is so like rewarding to see like my mom kind of be this star. And that kind of became mirrored when I think, you know, as I had mentioned before, I made the jump from musician to perform like musical theater performer like relatively recently. And while like even within when I did like the first two shows I've done, it was been absolutely great. I think what really cemented this role, like this journey for me, is actually last year when I did a show actually with Taylor. There was a moment in the show where I remember just thinking to myself, like, doing that part and singing it, like, wow, I could do this forever. This is, I feel like the star that I saw my mom be when I was younger. And that was what really cemented it for me.
Nice. So before we get to falsetto, we have to get to the company itself that's producing it. So let's talk about Bowtie. How did that begin? What was the impetus for that?
I would love to speak to that. It was the fall of 2019, and my friends and I were in our final years of our respective programs at TMU, formerly Ryerson. And we were all partaking in the TMU musical, which was not a program, was an extracurricular sort of activity. And we all kind of, you know, realized that this company only did really big shows. They did one show a year and they put all their money into it. And that was kind of, you know, if you weren't in the performance production or the performance acting programs, because they sort of had their own sector of performance that we could not be a part of. So if you were not doing any of those things, that was kind of the only opportunity for artists, at least on the TMU campus, to be involved in theater. And so we kind of realized, like, hey, how hard can it be to put on our own show? And maybe a little bit naive, but also, you know, not that out of reach, I think, for a bunch of artists who were all coming from different programs. I was in media production for film and TV. We had folks in creative industries. We had folks in business programs. And so I think all of our, you know, respective minds coming together wanted to do something that was a little more intimate, a little smaller scale. And so the idea was to do this musical Fun Home, as I mentioned. It was kind of a dream show of ours to do. We all really felt connected to the material. And so we said, hey, we're just going to go for it and see if we can put on this show. Now, almost 4 years to the day, actually, obviously, we had a little disaster that happened worldwide. So we couldn't execute it at the time that we wanted. We had sort of put it to bed. And then three some odd years later, after things had cleared up a little bit, we said, hey, should we, you know, open this little memory box again and see if we could get something on its feet? And so that was just over a year ago now. We started putting together the production of Fun Home, which went very well. I was so, so excited to see so many audiences connecting to the material. We had a sold out run, and then we said, actually, maybe we're kind of good at this. And so we decided, do you think we could do that again, but a little bit bigger this time? And so here we are. Falsettos always felt like the next kind of logical step for us. It's also a piece that we have always loved as a company and just felt like the right time to tell this story, given what is going on in the world today. So, you know, we had sort of humble beginnings and we're still, you know, very early on in our stages of being a production company. But we've really assembled some really awesome minds and artists and creators who are all just so passionate about the shows and the stories that we're telling. So I'm so excited to be here with some of them in the room.
So tell us a little bit about Falsettos, maybe just a, you know, brief synopsis and what drew you. You said you were drawn to it as a company, but what was it in Falsettos that drew you to it?
Sure. I mean, so Falsettos is about kind of a blended family. It features our sort of lead character is Marvin, who's played by Taylor, who the impetus for his story is that he leaves his wife and his child to be with his lover, Whizzer, who is played by Randy. And it kind of tracks the fallout of this event in their family. And then it's also sort of surround the looming darkness of the AIDS pandemic that is so kind of ridiculously mirrored by what we've been going through today, obviously on different scales. But that was, you know, a huge reason that we felt it might be kind of pertinent these days. And also the queer aspect of it, you know, it's compared to when the show was originally on Broadway, you know, queer people were not really in the public narrative at the time. And so doing a show like Falsettos, which features an openly gay, two openly gay relationships, was a really kind of taboo subject. And so today, now that we can really say, yes, it's a queer relationship, and, you know, it's not just about these two men or women being gay, it's really about their relationship and how families come together in a time of struggle, no matter what, you know, kind of shape or size your family comes in. It's about love. It's about loss. It's about a lot of things that I think our audiences will connect to. So that's a big reason why we've always wanted to do it.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, gay, straight, male, female, short, tall, you know, we're all human and we all experience that and we all can go through it. So very cool. Taylor.
Absolutely.
And Randy, I'm going to ask you both these questions. Taylor, I'm going to start with you. Who do you play? He said Marvin, but tell us a little bit about that. And did you know Falsettos before you got involved with the company?
Yeah, so I'm playing Marvin, who is kind of at the center of all of the dysfunction and drama, especially at the beginning of the piece. I have loved the show for a long time. Obviously, the 2016 revival luckily was filmed and streamed in theaters, so a lot of people got to experience Falsettos for the first time without having to go to New York and see it. Such a great show, but I also love the two one acts, March of the Falsettos and Falsetto Land, that were kind of combined to create the Falsettos we know today. Marvin is an interesting character. He begins the show very childish. He's clearly intelligent, but he's self-centered. He's competitive. I mean, at one point he sings, winning is everything to me. And he's used to getting what he wants. And that's very clear at the beginning because he's living at the top of the show with his ex-wife, his child, and his lover all in the same house. And that's completely fine to him. He's like, this is it. This is life. I got it. I want it all. He sings that repeatedly as well. And then eventually during the course of that first act, he starts to break apart as those things don't cohesively kind of live together, if that makes sense. So as he loses his ex-wife, as he loses his lover, as his son begins to kind of stray away from him, he completely breaks down. And the journey that we see Marvin go through from that opening scene and those first few scenes in the piece until the end of the piece is pretty remarkable. It's daunting as an actor to take that on because it's the whole gamut of emotions. But the journey and the progress that he goes through, that his character goes through, is remarkable. And the show is such a masterpiece. It's really, what we've said this in rehearsal, it's all there in the book. It's all there in the music. So it's such a pleasure to take this on.
Randy, same question. Tell us a little bit about the character and how much did you know about the show?
So my journey with the show is quite unique. It's actually kind of related to Ian and Bowtie Productions' story with Fun Home. I was actually supposed to be in a previous production of Falsettos. Exactly 4 years ago, we got stopped by the pandemic literally right after our first run through. So we were like almost there. Prior to that, I had never heard of the musical before. It was completely new to me, it was introduced to me as a, we need someone who could sing a lot because it's a sung through musical for about like 2.5 hours. So I was like, okay, let's do it. I was kind of green to everything. I'd just pick up anything that was in front of me. And then I spent all of December 2019 learning Wizard's part and listening to the 2016 version, listening to the older versions of Falsetto Land and March of the Falsettos. Fell in love with it. Absolutely fell in love with it. Some of the most beautiful music I have ever heard in my whole life. And it really like tickled like the same part of my brain as like my favorite classical music pieces used to do for me. It's just when something is so beautifully written, you can't help but become obsessed with it. And that's kind of what my journey with Falsettos was. obviously, with the story as well, I became very connected to my character, Wizard, who I see a lot of similarities in. Wizard is someone who is very solitary in like principle. He is a very dignified individual and tries his best to kind of live his own life free of constraint. He doesn't do constraints. So that happens. So in the first act of Falsettos, that causes a lot of tension between Marvin and Wizard, because Marvin's whole shtick is that he wants to constrain Wizard and make him live this life that Marvin wants him to live. And Wizard is kind of faced with this internal discordance of like wanting this life that I guess society back then tells people that they need to have, which is like to get married and to have like a nice family, but also at the same time knowing that he doesn't want to be just like tied down to any one situation, especially in a situation as toxic as Act One, Wizard versus Marvin, which kind of carries into Act Two, where he realizes that this is, in fact, when they've reconnected and the relationship is in a really good spot, this is what he wants. And he, like, it's his character hasn't changed, but like because his wants have changed, now you see him very firmly wanting to be in this relationship. And I think that's what I really find the most beautiful about Wizard, is that I would argue that he's one of the more consistent characters of the show. He doesn't experience the biggest kind of character development, but we see that, oddly enough, he does provide a lot of grounding, and he kind of acts as one of the aspects of glue with the whole cast. And I really, really enjoy playing Wizard because of these aspects of him.
Ian, let's talk a little bit about the creative team. Can you tell me about, you know, the who's helming the ship that is Falsettos?
I would love to. So our director, Meredith Shedden, and actually I'll circle back to Fun Home because that is when we met. She is also the artistic director of Bowtie, and so we obviously work very closely. We're also roommates, and she auditioned for Fun Home when we were doing it sort of V2 in 2023, and she auditioned to be a part of the cast, and we had a mutual friend who said, hey, that Meredith, she's sharp. She has a really great mind for directing. And so I kind of reached out to her and said, hey, you know, I need a choreographer for Fun Home. I need someone to work alongside me and shape the show, and she very gracefully accepted. And so we worked on that show together. And then, excuse me, when it came time to do falsettos, I was sort of working on taking a step towards more producing and sort of executive directing. And I said, this seems like the show for Meredith to take on. She has a really great understanding of the piece and a love for the piece, as we all do. And she obviously has a huge connection to the queer community, and also just an amazing brain for direction and for music and for movement, especially in a show like this, which is so full. It has 42 songs. So to have someone who can handle that, you know, breadth of text, it's amazing. And she's perfectly suited for it. And then we also have our music director, Ethan Rotenberg, who is kind of a kingpin of Toronto musical theater direction at this point. He actually just came off of a production that Randy and I were both in of Merrily We Roll Along with Shifting Ground Collective. And he's also working on a production of Hunchback of Notre Dame with Taylor. So it's all, you know, we're all connected. And he, I think, didn't really have a huge knowledge of the show previous to this. But getting to know it, I think he's become very, very invested in it. You know, we had a sing through in rehearsal the other day, and he finished playing the keys and he was in tears. You know, it's really amazing to see everyone connecting and gelling over this material that we love so much.
I'm going to go around Taylor, then Randy, then Ian. What's one thing you think the audience could take out of it that, you know, that has affected you and you think the audience will touch them as well?
Yeah, interesting question. I think at the core of the piece is an examination of what is love. And that's something that we all experience in life in many different ways. And the way that love is explored in this piece is so multifaceted. There's obviously the love between an ex-husband and ex-wife. Like how do they navigate that situation with a child? The love between lovers, the love between friends. And there's many numbers where they're examining that love is blind. It's at the core of the piece, and it's throughout the whole thing. And it's so important to Marvin as well. We hear Jason sing many times throughout the piece that Marvin has told Jason, his son, that love is the most beautiful thing in the world. But then contradicting that, we have this completely dysfunctional depiction of love from Marvin. So for me, that's I think what people can take away is that examination of what is love to me? What is love to you? How do we love other people? Yeah, it's one of the blueprints of this musical.
Randy, is there anything in the show that just you go, yes, this you get it because it kind of parallels something you've experienced, or you know touches you in such a way that you go, wow?
Again, I can't pick just one. I think there's two really big ones that really stick out to me. One, just the harmonies. I think there's something so, every single harmony in the show really sticks to me, to my core. And I think if you're a music lover, you're going to really, really enjoy coming to this show and just sitting down and experiencing the sonic like experience that William Finn has created through this show, because it truly is a spectacular like experience for me personally. The second thing, I think in terms of like just the show and in general, I would say the biggest thing I take out of it is every time I finish watching like a version of it on YouTube, I come out of it being like, I need to put more effort into showing my love for those around me. Because of the direction the plot goes near the end of the show, it is one of those things that you sit back and you're like, be grateful for what you have in your life, for the love that you have around you. And yeah, I would say those two are the biggest things.
Ian?
Yeah, I think The biggest thing that struck me when I saw it on Broadway in 2016 was, first of all, that it's hilarious. It is one of the funniest of writing that I've ever seen on a stage. And the beautiful part about the show is that it is so funny. And 2 hours and going on the journey with this family. And then it in kind of this rug pulling moment, you kind of remember that that the AIDS epidemic and everything that is has been kind of looming over this group of people for so long becomes so real. And so it really allows you to kind of laugh and then just have a huge kind of catharsis and let out all of these things that I think we've all been dealing with over the last couple of years in terms of COVID, in terms of what's going on with Gaza right now, given this is a very Jewish centered story. I think that it really gives audiences the opportunity to come to a space where everyone is included to laugh, to cry, to feel in community with each other, and to celebrate connection and really remember that time is precious and that we should really value it and spend it with those that we love.
Fantastic. So, how do we go see this show? Give us the websites, the socials, all the information that allows us to go see the show.
You can go to bowtieproductions.ca slash falsettos and you can get tickets. We are at the Annex Theater from April 19th to 27th. We have 8 performances, and it's a gorgeous company of actors and creators and band members. We have a live orchestra, and it's sure to be a blast and a little bit of a cry, but sometimes that is what you need.
Ian, Taylor, Randy, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us a little bit about yourselves, about the show, and everyone out there in Toronto or outside of Toronto. Come into Toronto and go see this show. So thank you guys for coming on today.
Thank
Thanks,
you. It was a
Jean-Paul.
blast.
Awesome. All right. We were just speaking with Ian, Taylor, and Randy about Falsettos, which is playing at the Annex Theater from April 19th to the 27th. 2024. So if you want to go see that show, check them out. All right. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Jovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.